السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، صدق الله العظيم. Dear most honored and beloved, respected elders also, and dear respected brothers, Allah has created with every creation of His necessities. There is no creation that is independent. For its existence, any creation that wants to keep existing, it needs Allah. Allah decides that. The day Allah decides for any creation to be destroyed, it will be. And Israfil alayhi salam on a bigger scale has got the trumpet already at his mouth. He's taken the breath in already. And when Allah gives him the hukam and he blows the trumpet, the entire creation is going to be destroyed. As you see the mountains and the rivers and the buildings, there will be no more. It will be just a lump of dust, sand. Everything is going to be destroyed. So even to remain in existence, this chair requires Allah's hukam. Otherwise this chair will also be destroyed. Now it can get destroyed. So any and every creation of Allah, for its existence, for its nourishment, for its growth, is muhtaj of Allah. And that is why Allah's sifat is a Rabb. Rabb. Allah is a Rabb. Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah is the Rabb of the whole creation. Rabb means that being who created it and then made the thing dependent on Him. The reason Allah created dependency in His creation is for recognition of Allah all the time. The reason Allah created, so every creation أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Sometimes Allah used the word dhikr, sometimes Allah used the word sijda, that the entire creation, dead or alive, are all making the dhikr of Allah, sijda of Allah, out of dependence, that Allah is my Rabb, and I need to bow down and worship Him and rely and depend on Him. The creation with the most necessities and needs is human being. Because he requires the sense of dependency with Allah the most. There is no creation of Allah that is so in need. When we wake up in the morning, we are in need of something or the other. There's no time of the day when we are not in need. Whether we're driving a vehicle or we got a headache some time of the day, all the time we are in need. And that is why for us in our salat, the sense of dependency and closeness with Allah becomes Rabbi. Rabbi al-Azim, Rabbi al-Azim. Allah is my Rabb, Allah is my Rabb. So when we in Dhuhr salat, and we say, Allah is my Rabb. With regards to all the matters from Fajr till now, He is my Rabb. He is the only one who took care of it. And whatever is going to happen from Dhuhr till Asr, all my needs, I'm putting it down. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَهُوَ سَاجِدْ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. The closest a person can get to Allah is when you are in sajda. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are in sajda, put all your needs to Allah. That is the time, that is the amal of dua, is when you are in sajda, put all your zaruriyat, your needs, your complaints. Innama ashku. Even the Anbiya used to complain. Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah. My complaints are also to Allah. There was an alim in a madrasa in Pakistan, Jamia Ashrafiya. So Allah made it that he met up in an accident. And he broke his leg in three places. Broke his leg. So you know what happens. They put pins. And he was bedridden. So he's laying with his bed up. And mashallah, many people coming to visit. Students, ustads, other people. So as people came to visit him, he started talking about the eyes Allah gave him. So he's telling them, you know, Allah has given me such good eyes. At this age, I can see better than maybe yourself. I don't need spectacles. So the people are asking him, but we came to ask you about your leg that's broken. Then he starts talking about the hands. He says, you know, what good hands Allah gave me. Subhanallah, shukr to Allah. So when he realized that people are confused, is it your hands you broke or your legs? So he said, look, for so many years, 60 years, when my legs were fully functional, I never spoke to you about what beautiful legs Allah gave me and how healthy legs Allah gave me. I never made shukr for these legs. And today when Allah gave me a little test, you want me to complain to you? You want me to tell you how the accident happened and what happened? In my complaint, I might just show reliance and dependence on the makhluk of Allah. In my complaining to you, I might just blame someone that he was on the wrong and I was right and he bumped me and he was drunk or he came from the wrong side and he missed the traffic light. If I blame someone, that is also shirk. If I blame someone for what happened, because what happened is, La ilaha illallah. Nobody made it happen besides Allah. And in complaining, you are bound to blame someone. You are bound to attach the event on someone, that he did it. And if I keep on talking to you about this broken leg of mine, I'm bound to rely on someone that you suggest. Because when we're going to start talking about my leg, you are going to tell me that there's an orthopedic surgeon that I know, and he is so good, and that hospital only deals with these matters. Why don't you go there? And the happiness that will come in my heart might tell me that that is your answer. That is where you should go to. And that is also khilaf of La ilaha illallah. The talk of it is not khilaf. The talk, if you talk about medication, or you talk about business, and you talk about economics, the problem is the muqabla in the heart, the confrontation that may ensue. You can talk the whole day about business, and that supplier, the quality of the goods are better, and the customers at this time of the year, mashallah, we don't even have time to eat and do anything. The customers are so many. You can talk about it. The whole masala is about the condition of the heart. And that is what Allah is looking at. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila ajsamikum walakinna Allah yanzuru ila ma fi qulubikum. Allah is watching my heart and yours all the time. Even when we're reading salat, He's not looking so much at the physical. The malaika are recording that. But they're not allowed to record what is going on in your heart. That is khas between you and Allah. He's watching your motives. Why? Why is He smiling at that person? He gave charity to someone, to a car guard. What is his motive? Wajhul amal. For what purpose did he give that charity that he gave? He complimented someone. What was his motive? Does he want him to become his father-in-law tomorrow? Allah is watching our motives, our reason,
our maqsad, which we all call ikhlas. That is what Allah is looking at, and that is la ilaha illallah. So an effort has to be made by each one of us on our kalima and the kalima of our home. This la ilaha illallah is the maghaz of dua. If you want to teach your children when they ill and you tell them make dua, we commonly use that, isn't it? A boy comes to the imam of the masjid and says, I got imtihan tomorrow, exam tomorrow. So the maulana also tells him, make dua. And we tell everyone, make dua. Don't complain, don't worry, make dua. Allah will give you. But what is dua? Dua is when a person has negated, where he sees the solution coming from, or the necessity being fulfilled, or where the difficulty seems to be coming from. He negates that first. By using La ilaha illallah, he negates that so much, until his heart says it's not coming from there. So okay, it's not coming from there, the difficulty. It's only coming by the hukam, by the amr of Allah. That is one condition of the heart. The second is to solve this problem that I got now. Person is owing me a large sum of money. It's put my whole capital in problems. My whole business is in danger. But I've already negated that it's not coming from him. Physically, he did me down. So we can go to court also, that's fine. The condition of the heart is what I'm talking about. The heart says, it's not coming from there. Where is it coming from? La ilaha illallah. Now how to get out of this condition and difficulty, how to solve it? Again, la ilaha illallah. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only spoke this language in Makkah. There was no salat in Makkah. Once a day, it became farz only 2 years before Hijrah. There was no zakat, there was no hajj, there was no fasting except one day in the year. So for 13 years, his effort on the ummah, he built this ummah on la ilaha illallah. He made them a group of people that could see nobody else besides Allah. They could hear nobody besides Allah. They could talk to nobody else besides Allah. If you told a sahabi of that time in Makkah, go and ask your father, he would find that to be very strange. This was a group of people that knew nobody else. So what did they know? Ahad, 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 ahadun, ahad. That was the chant of the heart of everyone in Makkah Mukarramah, like Bilal radiallahu anhu. You try to find, ask all the ulama in the world to find where Bilal radiallahu anhu may have gone to complain even to the Nabi of Allah. While he was being tortured, while he was being persecuted, while they were going through difficulty, they didn't go to the Nabi of Allah to complain. They learned that all your matters of the heart are only between you and Allah. This gave them the quwwah of dua. This gave them the confidence that even if the matter is impossible to solve, even if a matter, any matter in my life is impossible, because my relationship and my dealing is with him, he is the only one who makes impossibles into possible. He is the only one who can make impossibles into possible. Providing la ilaha illallah. Providing I don't look at anyone else. I don't hope on anyone else. I don't depend and rely. Because if you do, then the dua remains adhura, half. That heart that is completely negated and affirmed that only Allah is going to look after this matter of mine. He doesn't even have to lift his hands to ask, consider it done. If in the heart you believe about any impossible matter, that only Allah can take care of this matter of mine, and you negated everyone around it, all your mushahada, all your tajrubah, all your experiences, and your apparent cause and means, you've negated all. Your matter you can consider done. That is why the Anbiya and Sahaba never used to make this dua that Allah take the fire away for Ibrahim alayhi salam, or running away from a battlefield for the Sahaba was never a consideration. A person from Syria, after one of the battles in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the army or many captives were brought from Syria. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked one of these, Harikal, which is a title that they give, but he was actually the chief of the army. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, and in front of the congregation of Muslims, you tell us, why do you think we are always victorious over you? We have had 7 encounters with you in Syria. We're always less in number. We're always less planned. We always have less strategy and means. Why is it that we're always victorious over you? So he replied, he said, جَعَلْتُمُ الْحَرْبَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. O Umar and O congregation of Muslims, you have learned by the barakat of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you learned how to make the battle between us and Allah. You take yourself out of the battle. You put Allah in front. وَمَنْ يُحَارِبِ اللَّهِ يَا عُمَرِ. And Umar, who can fight with Allah? We have to teach our children in our homes this. Don't depend on the madrasa in the school. Each father, grandfather, uncle, each one of us has to learn this, and we need to teach this to our children to be able to survive the times that we are going through. If you want your son to say no to haram, you need to teach him who Allah is, so that Allah becomes the reason for him to say no to haram. Not because he's going to get caught by the police. Or if I take drugs, I'll lose my job and I won't ever get married. Those are not reasons enough to leave something that is wrong. The only reason to leave something that is wrong is because Allah doesn't want it. And the only reason to do something that is correct is because Allah wants me to do this. Because who wants me to do it? Allah. In South America, we do this Imaniyat, Iman Mudakira program. We had to start it off in South America because our madrasas that we started there about 15, 18 years ago, the conditions that we were working or found ourselves in was where a person came 200 years ago, grandparents came 200 years ago from Arab countries. They moved to Argentina, Brazil, to South America. They got married local and they started going to church already. So when you met a 60, 70 year old man, he told you, I know nothing about Islam. I never heard the word wudu in my life. But let me show you pictures of my grandfather. He looked just like you. And this is the Quran he left for us. This is the topi that they left. So I want you to teach my grandchildren or children the religion of their grandfather. I want you to teach them Islam. How can you run a madrasa like that? When you walk into that house, you see Isa alayhi salam's supposedly pictures and frames and all of that. And the man tells you, look, I am a Muslim, quietly I'll tell you, but I go to church with my wife on Sundays. But my child, I want you to teach him Islam. We quickly had to investigate and do research that when you're teaching this child his Islam, how is he going to stand up on Islam and deen without an environment in society and in the house. Much of our deen is culture. Our deen that we give our children in our society, a lot of it is culture. Oh, my grandfather used to wear a scarf like this and topi like this. Oh, my nani wears like this here. And in our house, oh, everyone reads salat. In our house, everyone reads salat. That is culture. That is culture. Let that boy go on a trip to China for buying. Now you'll see the deen of the child. Now you'll see the deen of the child when he leaves the comfort zone. And this comfort zone is very quickly disintegrating. People are moving and living everywhere and moving out of cities, etc. And leaving the country. Some are moving to Turkey and others where to. People are migrating. In all of this, the point we're talking about is when we introduced this Imaniyat into the madrasa and taught the children, we started finding children who tell us, I don't want to go home anymore because my parents want me to do what is haram. I'll give you one incident and then we're done, inshallah. One boy, and this became a watershed moment a little bit in our understanding of iman for children and in a home, how to teach your children the deen. A boy came home and he's going for an excursion or an outing with the school the next day. So at night, his mother is packing his snacks and he also packing in his bag. So mother asked him, what are you packing? So he said, a bottle of water, because tomorrow I've got to make wudu and read my salat when we go with the school for outing. So his mother told him, you are only 11 years old. This is not compulsory for you. And you are the only Muslim boy in the whole class. They're going to mock and laugh at you. You're not supposed to pray. Go and ask your upper, go and ask your teacher. She will tell you that at 11, you are not mukallaf, you don't have to pray. And you're going on a very fun day tomorrow. Fun and casual. People don't pray on a day like that. People don't pray on a day like that. But tell me, is your teacher, did she make it compulsory for you? Did she threaten that she's going to punish you if you don't pray your Zohar Salat? So he said, no, my teacher doesn't even know about this. So then, for what are you doing this? So this 11-year-old boy tells his mother, I'm doing this because Allah is my Allah and it has become my object of life to make Allah happy. It's become my purpose of life to make Allah happy. So the mother let him go. He came back the next day. Mother asked him, what happened? So he said, I performed my Zohar Salat. I made wudu. Mother asked him, how did you find the Qibla? How did you find Qibla? Your father never prays. Never goes for Jummah Salat. I don't pray. How did you find the Qibla? So he said, 3 weeks ago, when we were told that we are going on this outing, I went to the husband of my teacher, Appa, to her husband, the Maulana from South Africa, and I asked him to show me how to find the Qibla. This boy has become a muhakkik. He's beginning to find his own deen. We need to bring our children onto yaqeen and iman. In simple words, onto La ilaha illallah, we need to teach them at home. So I'm going to leave myself and you with two things that we can do at home, inshallah. Okay? From now, every day, take out 2 to 3 minutes at home. If you're a grandfather, when you meet your grandchildren, even when you go out to a park, or every day at home, and all the families sit and do is talk about Allah. Talk about Allah. And you use examples of the creation. Say you eating, talk about the rice that's in front, or talk about the milk that the children just drank, and all they must say is, Allah created this milk. Subhanallah, Allah created this milk. Allah made it. When you take them to a park, let them talk about the leaves and the grass and say, Subhanallah, Allah created all of this. Is this easy or difficult? But what it does is, it will build their confidence to begin to know Allah and then to begin to rely and ask from that Allah. Slowly, slowly as you're going, you make them say, nobody will take my hunger away besides Allah. Nobody can take hunger away besides Allah. They must look at the food and say this. So try to do this every day. The second amal that we try to introduce into our homes every day, on a daily basis, with the children, take out 5 minutes, if not 3 minutes, and everybody close their eyes and say, La ilaha illallah. Whatever the condition is facing our home that day, whatever we want from Allah that day, this La ilaha illallah is the time when you are going to put it to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The best way when you want to take anything from Allah is through La ilaha illallah. Make it your dua. La ilaha illallah is not a dhikr only. La ilaha illallah is a dua. It is your way to take what you want from Allah. It is your time when you can negate where you think it's going to come from and affirm only Allah can give it to me, and teach this to your children. So let's say Nanima is not well today. In the house, Nani is not well. And we got the news in our house. Get everyone to sit for that moment. 3 minutes. La ilaha illallah. And the masoom children in the house must think in their minds, nobody can give Nanima shifa beside you, Allah. Nobody. They must think of the doctors. They must think of the medication and say, nobody can give shifa beside you, Allah. What you'll be doing if you do this at home every day, what you will be doing if you do this, you will be making the basis of reliance in the house, the basis of dependence, the basis of hope, something else from what is commonly understood. Allah give tawfiq inshallah. Try to do this every day at home. It is your responsibility to take your family to reliance and dependence on Allah. Try to do this amal at home with the children, with the family, and Allah give us all tawfiq and give barakat in it. Tomorrow a time will come when the needs are not going to be for health and that, when Dajjal is going to come and Allah is going to make conditions come when nothing will grow on the face of the earth. Allah will seal the rains and Dajjal will come to you with mountains of bread. Nothing will grow on the earth. Every animal will die, but Allah will give him water and bread. And nobody else will have water and bread. At that time, this La ilaha illallah is going to be the only safety for this ummah. Teach it to your children now. And tomorrow, they might have to go in the battlefield. They will make the swords and the spears of the enemies blunt with this La ilaha illallah. Subhanakallah.